I'm Terry Clark, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Country Gold Backstage.
You're listening to Country Gold. I'm Terry Clark, and joining me via Zoom is the one and only Tracy Byrd. Thank you so much for joining me for Country Gold, Tracy.
Hey, Terry, thank you for having me on, and I'm excited, that you've got your own show. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is, I think we're in our third, or going into our fourth year doing this.
And yeah, it's been a while, huh?
It has, and it's done really well, and I just love doing it. And, you know, you've been one of the people that I've wanted to have on the show since I started, because we play you so much. We play so much of your music, and I'd kind of heard that you were back out playing and doing music, and then I was thinking, how do we get in touch with Tracy Byrd? And then I run into you, of all places, at a golf course here in Nashville.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to track me down these days. You know, I kind of fly under the radar most of the time. But yeah, I was playing a show there in Lebanon, Tennessee, and we got up and ran into Nashville and played golf. And there you were. We were about a handful of the fools that were out on that frigid, cold morning playing golf.
I know. And yeah, we were fools for playing golf that morning, but
I play all the time. I don't know about you. It doesn't matter to me. I'll play anytime.
Well, if I played all the time, I'd be a hell of a lot better at it, I would think. But that might've been the day that I got a hole in one.
Really?
I think I got one that day. Yeah.
Oh,
at that golf
my
course.
God. Well, I remember hearing y'all scream or something, or holler.
Par three across the water. Boom.
Unbelievable.
I hit it right on the hill and it rolled
I am really jealous, because I've been playing since I was 12 years old and I've never had a hole in one.
Well, you're a better golfer than me. You know, it has nothing to do with skill. It's all about luck. So I'll still probably take your golf handicap over mine any day, but it was a fun moment. And I had witnesses there, so I couldn't lie about it.
Well, that is true about the hole in ones. But yeah, it's I got one of my guys I play with all the time, my buddy Gerald. He's 66 years old and a plus three handicap, and he's never had a hole in one, and he's one of the best players I know. So yeah, I guess the luck is involved a lot.
Well, I'm feeling that's definitely what it's about. But it was great to run into you, and you mentioned the show to me. You mentioned
that's right.
Really loving Country Gold, and I said, well, I just so happen to have not had somebody on the show yet that I'd like to get on the show, and that would be you. So we've been trying to hook up, and we finally did. So thanks so much for calling in. And I wish we were doing this in person. It's more fun.
I know, it would be more fun that way, wouldn't it? But this is the world we live in right now.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Beaumont at home in Texas. Yeah. And sitting in my office. And like I said, I got up, showered, got myself looking as decent as I can these days. And I thought we were going to be on video. So I needed to get dressed anyway. So good. Got me going early.
I have become so lazy. Like I don't hardly put makeup on anymore, because nobody sees me. And when I do, if I put makeup on and I try to do that face recognition on my phone, it won't even recognize me.
I don't even know you anymore. I know that's kind of how it's became. I mean, I see these, see people posting how the, COVID got them back in the gym or got them working out and getting in shape. And I was like, boy, it hadn't done that for me.
It's just, no kidding.
I played a lot of golf, but I hadn't really worked out that much. Hadn't been eating really great. So need to change that.
Well, it's, comfort level.
It's true. I'm like you. It's made me lazy. I don't know.
Well, pants are optional. I mean, I swear to God. I mean, I've never done so many concerts in front of hundreds thousands of people without pants on, and they just don't know it.
I know those Zoom shows are. I mean, that's what I do. I'll be sitting here in shorts and have a cowboy hat on and
right
and singing to these people. And, that's pretty cool, though, actually. If you could get, three or four of those a week. Oh, man. I don't know if I'd ever go back on the road.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is a danger. I mean, it's a danger because we can do all these things that we wanted to do or do just nothing. You know, we're not living out of suitcases and we're not constantly thinking about packing for this trip or that trip. And I love what I do, like you do. I love playing for people. I love playing live, and I can't wait to get back out there, but I'm a little spoiled and I've turned into Betty Crocker. I'm looking up recipes and and going on fishing trips in the freezing cold and doing stuff I probably wouldn't normally have done.
Which is the good thing about it, that you know, we have broke loose and, you know, did some things a little different in our life because, you know how you and I, when we're touring and then, you know, it's 90 to nothing and there's really no true downtime. I mean, even when you're off, you're talking about the next run or or recovering from the last run or, you know, and so this thing has definitely forced us to just stop, you know, and kind of smell the roses, so to speak. And it's been nice, but you know, I'm ready for it to be over with. I mean,
so yeah, I can imagine. And especially cause you, in 2009, you took a bunch of time away from the music business to raise your kids.
I did. I got off the road and it was for my kids and for myself. I needed to regroup change myself a lot too. I mean, I quit drinking. I hadn't had a drink since December of 2009. That's a positive.
Wow.
Believe me.
Good for you.
And, so I worked on that. I coached basketball teams, baseball teams. You know, my daughter is 26. So, you know, by the time I took the time off the road, she was already headed off to college and, or close to it. And, she kind of took the brunt of me being gone. Cause you know, I mean, in the '90s we were, you know, it was nonstop.
Oh,
you know,
we were
making hay while the sun shines. But my boys, by the time I took off, my one son is 22 years old and then I got a 18 year old. So they were still relatively young. And Logan, my older son, was big into basketball. So we had this select travel team that we started so we were traveling all over the place, me coaching them playing basketball. And then, our little dribblers team, we ended up winning the national championship that was a blast and something that we'll never forget. So, you know, those kind of things are, I mean, you know, you can't go back and do them over. And so I'm glad I got off the road for those, you know, 3 years. I really didn't do much of anything musically. But then, you know, I got to, the boys got older, they were, you know, doing their own things. And I just really honestly just was so missing music, you know, you know, I can sit here in my office and sit around with a guitar and sing and play, but it's not the same as singing and playing in front of, you know, people who really want to hear me sing and play. So I gradually started easing back out on the road first just doing some acoustic things and a few things and then put a new band together down here out of Texas, decided that I would go back out and do some, you know, full band shows and see if there was any interest. I didn't know, you know, after being gone, if people would want to hear you or not want to hear you. And it turned out that being gone was probably a good thing for me for a while. So there was a lot of interest. And so we eased back into it and started working, you know, first like 50 shows, you know, the first year and then 60. And then I said, well, I can do a few more. And then, you know, so to the point that we're at now, where right now I got 72 shows confirmed this year and I'll probably do, you know, 90 or 100. So it's if all this stuff clears out, but so I'm back full at it and just loving it and having a ball and got a great band together down here out of Texas and Louisiana really good group, good band. You know, I now look at it and go, you know, I guess I'll never, you know, stop, you know, I think I'll do it at some level, you know, just
right.
I mean, you probably feel the same way, you know, I won't be doing this many shows a year, but I can see myself at 65 out there still playing shows, you know, cause it's something that I love and it's a big part of me, you know, and
right.
And part of our lives. And so I don't ever, it's really one of those, you know, jobs where we can do it as long as we want to do it, as long as people want to hear it, you know,
truth, you know, and I think that, I admire you for taking the time that you needed to for yourself and for your kids and to get healthy and do what you needed to do. Cause without that, you've really got nothing else. But while you were away, I'm sure, you know, in 2009, 90s country was, you know, people remembered it and stuff like that. But towards like 2015 through the last 5 years or so, it's really kind of taking on a life of its own and had a resurgence. So you coming back in 2019, I'm sure was like, people going nuts for these songs that maybe in 2009 they were starting to go, well, that's an old song.
Yeah.
Now they're like, exactly. Holy crap, I love this song because it's all, you know, it's hot again. And I bet that was fun to come back to.
Yeah. Oh, it was. And it was kind of surprising because when I say I got out of it, I got out of it. I mean, I wasn't listening to anything current. You know, I was listening to all the old stuff I loved. And I mean, I was just completely detached from the business. So when I got back into it, I didn't realize that this 90s thing was happening, you know. But man, it really was happening. I mean, it's really become a kind of a genre of its own, the 90s country music. And what a great thing. I mean, you know, I know in the 90s, I was talking to Wade Hayes a couple years ago. We played a show together and we were talking about how both of us, you know, we just had this, when we went to Nashville, we had this, I'm going to be as traditional as I can be, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we got there and, you know, the line dancing thing started. And so we kind of bent a little, okay, I'll do these, you know, you can do a dance mix, you can do this. And we were talking about how at the time we thought, man, my music has gotten so far away from country. And now we go back and listen to it and man, it sounds so country.
I know.
And yours too, because you were the same way. You know,
I thought Now That I Found You was too pop for me to recall.
yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. But now we listen back to it and man, comparatively speaking, mm-hmm. It sounds really, really country. And I'm happy for that. And I'm proud of that. And I say all that to say, I think that's a big part of why the 90s country is so big now, because
100%.
Because it is country and I love the music coming out now and it's very popular, but it's so far detached from what we were doing that I think anybody that's wanting to hear that kind of music has to go to the 90s to hear it.
Yeah, I think it's become a bit of the new classic genre and the new
it is the new classic genre.
Yeah, and when you talk to the artists that are having hits right now and the people that are coming up there, that's, they have such a reverence for the 90s artists, people like you and Tracy and your buddy Mark Chestnut, who you've done a bunch of shows with as the Beaumont Boys. You guys went out as a duo and did. I'm a huge Mark Chestnut fan. Country music singer on the planet than that guy.
There is not. You're right about that. And I've felt that way since I was about 18, 19 years old, you know, back when he didn't have a record deal and I just listened to him and just go, wow. So we went out and me and Chestnut have done, oh gosh, a pretty good bit of shows together the last couple of years. We bill it as the Beaumont Boys and they've been fun, you know, been a lot of fun. I always like spending time with Mark and we, you know, we spend time together here at home, you know, not musically speaking. And then we go out on the road and have some fun too. He's just a great guy. And you're right. One of the greatest country singers, that ever lived. When people start thinking about the greatest country singers, they of course go to George Jones and Merle Haggard. Well, I guarantee you Chestnut, he went back in the day, he could sound just like George Jones when he wanted to. And he could sound just like Merle Haggard. I mean, I've never seen a guy that could, and then he could sound like himself, you know?
Yeah.
I'd say do some Jones and he'd go into that Jones mode and it just sound, you turn your head and you'd think you're sitting in there with George Jones. He's just a super talented guy and a good guy too.
And he loves to play. It's like, I did a show with him and Joe Diffie several years ago and it was just the three of us on stage and Joe had this clock going down because it was a casino. They want them back out gambling and stuff. You know how that goes.
Right.
And so we did what we thought it was our encore. And me and Joe were walking back to the bus. And Joe's like, I don't go back to the bus. It's time to eat. And Mark's out there. Mark wouldn't stop singing. He just kept going.
He's had the plug pulled on him a few times.
he loves it. He loves to play for people. And he's so funny because we had the big debate conversation about, you know, about making new music and how to get it out there. And does anybody really care? They just want to hear the hits. Like, I think all our artists of all of us from that era who had a really great catalog of hits that we can play on our show. People recognize song after song after song, which is great.
Yeah.
But there's always that debate of, do we make new music? Like, do people really, general public, how much do they care? And Mark was just so matter of fact about it. Have a good time, go play your shows and go home.
And that's about how I feel.
Trying to get on the radio again.
Yeah, that's about how I feel. Yeah, exactly.
I think he's got a point, and I'm in agreement with a lot of that. But you know, it just he's a great guy, and you've known him a really, like, when did you meet him for the first time?
I met him the first time when I was 17 years old, I guess. A friend of mine was a friend of his. And so then I, you know, got to know him, and I started going out and watching him, at the clubs he'd play at. And this was probably a year or so later. And the funny thing is, I used to go into the club and he'd say, "Hey man, what's going on?" We'd drink beer and talk. And he'd say, "You want to go up and sing a couple songs the next set?" And I said, "Sure." And so I'd go up there and get with his band, and I'd kick off the show, and I'd sing a couple songs, and I'd say, "Well, okay, everybody, Mark, you come on back up. You said sing a couple songs," and I'd sing another song, and then he wouldn't be there. And finally, I'd ask, you know, "Has anybody seen Mark?" And they said, "Oh, he left." And so I'd be stuck there for an hour making his money for him, you know.
Oh man!
But you know, I loved it. I mean, I was, you know, I was dying to be up there. But yeah, he'd just leave me. He'd just leave me.
There's some sort of a, you know, the some sort of a connection between Chestnut and Clay Walker and you. Did you introduce the two of them?
Well, no, Clay and I are actually from a little town outside of Beaumont here called Vidor, Texas. And so I'd known Clay since he was in, you know, high school. He graduated with my little sister. I did not introduce those two. I would assume that they met kind of like Mark and I met. I really don't know the story of them meeting, but I already knew, you know, I knew Clay and had known him for years through school and stuff. And knew he was, you know, really talented too. But we all played at, you know, separate places until I would play with Mark, like I was telling the story about, but then I put my band together and I started playing at different places in Louisiana and bouncing around Houston. And then Mark was playing a set down gig here in Beaumont that I ended up taking over when he left. But then Clay was playing across town at another place called the Neon Armadillo. So we all, at one time, we all were playing, you know, within really 5 mile little circle of each other, you know?
Right.
So there was a, you know, you can imagine it was just a really neat time. And you know, in every place that each of us played was packed every night, you know? So for Beaumont, Texas, it was pretty cool then, you know, as far as music went, it was happening. And
it sounds like a real like community.
It's been that way for a long time too, really. You know, you go back to George Jones time, you know, you go to, and at the same time while you had George Jones, you know, making his rise through here, and he was taking off and getting super famous. And here come these guys, here come Janis Joplin, you know, right, in Port Arthur, just, you know, 10 miles down the road. And then here come Johnny and Edgar Winter emerging in Beaumont, you know, and it was just, you know, there's just always been, and it's not just country, you know, it's all kind of music that has happened through the years here. And it's really, a lot of it's really different, you know? And I think that a lot of that comes from, you know, the influence of, I mean, we're 30 miles from Louisiana line, you know, and there's the musical influence in Southwest Louisiana is crazy. I mean, it's really, really, there's some musicians down there that people have never heard of that are as good or better than the biggest stars, you know? Mm-hmm. There's just a ton of talent down here. And it was, you know, evident back then and has been evident for years, you know, by the people that have come out of here and a lot of people that never did make it out that were really talented.
So being from Texas and involved in that whole scene, I can imagine when George Strait came out, he exploded internationally. Was he an influence on you, or were you more into the local type of thing?
No. I was a huge, huge George Strait fan. I wanted to be George Strait, and I went to Nashville wanting to be George Strait, you know? I dressed like him. I tried to sing like him. Between, you know, Strait and Merle Haggard were like the two guys that I just wore out and tried to emulate as much as possible. They were my heroes, so to speak, and still are, you know, to this day. But those two guys were totally responsible for, you know, me getting into the music business. And then the happenstance of meeting Chestnut, and what that did for me was big too, you know, the influence of that, and watching, you know, at the time him emerge on the local scene and then go to Nashville and, you know, get to deal with MCA. And I went right behind him, and I remember going into MCA and them saying, well, you know, we just signed two traditional acts. Actually it was three, I guess, cause they had signed Marty Brown. They had signed Mark Chestnut and they had signed Roger Springer.
Yeah.
And they said, we just don't need another traditional act. And I said, okay, you know, I'm going to do a showcase, you know, and if you want to come, you know. So they did. Actually, a guy named Jeff Gordon came to the showcase, and next thing I know, MCA's calling the next morning saying, can you come in here and sing a couple songs for, you know, Bruce Hinton and Tony Brown? And so they ended up, you know, Chestnut both being on MCA records after all. So it you know, all of that wasn't accidental, I don't believe. You know, I think things happen for a reason, and that was you know, part of the meeting of Mark was very crucial and instrumental in my getting to MCA.
Man, the whole singing in the boardroom in a chair with a guitar to get a record deal.
The most nervous I've ever been in my life.
Oh yeah, that's how I got mine, and believe me, I wore one of those Mo Betta shirts that looked like somebody, you know, threw up all over it, just in case I did throw up, then it would just be camouflage. But
can you believe we wore that kind of stuff?
I know.
I see pictures now and I'm like, oh my God, that's horrendous. Holy cow.
Everybody
else was wearing them too, you know?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I used up all of the starch in Nashville for my Wranglers in the 90s. And
I'd go through cans and cans.
Yeah, they could stand in the corner on their own. So we were all dressing like George Strait, even me.
Yeah.
Not to bring us down because we're having a great visit, but we can't, you know, not acknowledge Joe Diffie. I mentioned him earlier, and we sadly lost Joe this last year to COVID. And it was a huge shock, but you did a show with him in Baytown. Not too long ago.
It was July 4th of 19. So it wasn't too far, you know, removed from when he passed. And yeah, we did a show, hot outdoor show. And I remember he was just soaking wet with sweat. So was I, but I went on his bus. He had just come off stage. I went on his bus, to hang with him before I went out to do my deal. And he was, you know, regular old Joe, just, you know, laughing, cutting up, smiling, eating. You know, had a big old stack of ribs in front of him. And we just had a good laugh and talk. And, you know, and I was friends with Joe, but I wasn't as close to Joe as Chestnut was. Mm-hmm. Him and Joe were really, really tight, as you probably know. And man, he really took it hard. Mark did. He called me one night and we talked for about 2 hours, and he was really, really upset, and as we all were, but they were really, really tight, and it hit him pretty hard. It's crazy, you know. I mean, I had COVID, and for me it was nothing really, you know.
Yeah.
And then for other people, that's what's so scary about it is you know, is one person can have it and be fine, and then another person get it and you know, within days end up in the hospital and pass away. I hope this vaccine is effective and we can get away from this, and it's super sad that we lost Joe. I mean, you talk about one of the greatest voices. I mean, man, I mean, I'll sit down sometimes and I'll say, I'm just when I'm sitting in my office here and I'll grab the guitar. I'm going to sing Joe Diffie song. You know? Then I'll start singing it and go, whoo, I better drop this down about a key. You know, I mean, because, you know, when he gets to those wailing signature notes that he would always sing at the end of the songs, I can't get there, man.
Especially Ships That Don't Come In.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And just an incredible talent. And I remember, you know, hearing him on demos, you know, once I got, you know, to Nashville and I'd be listening to songs and he had already hit, you know, he had already had hits and I'd hear him on a demo and I'd be like, gosh, man, I mean, do I want to cut this song? Cause in my head,
right,
all I'm going to hear is his demo, which he probably sang in the first pass. Mm-hmm. And mine's not going to be near as good as that, you know? So he's just, it was terrible to lose him. We've lost a lot of people.
Unreal.
It's just left and right. But Joe's was way too soon. I mean, just guy had a lot of life to live and he'll be missed for sure. And I think about him a lot.
He was just a guy next door. Such a nice guy.
Absolutely. The most ordinary, easy to be around, easy to talk to kind of guy, you know, just made you feel comfortable and always a blast and a good time. We'll miss him for sure.
Absolutely. Now you mentioned that you have been playing, and when I saw you at the golf course, you said you were doing a show. So how are these shows looking? I see on your schedule, you've got shows in the Southeast and Texas and Florida scheduled in February, March.
Yeah.
So for people that want to go to TracyBird.com, and buy tickets and go to your show, what's
Tracy
that going to look like?
TracyBirdMusic.com.
So
yeah,
you
know, they're telling me that all the, you know, the promoters and the people booking the shows are saying we'll follow all the guidelines. I won't do a meet and greet yet. You know, I'm when it gets a little better, I'll start doing them again. I mean, since I've been back out on the road, I'll go out after every show and just sit at the merch booth and sign until everybody's got what they want. But I'm not going to do that yet because that would be going against protocol and I don't think safe at this point. But other than that, you know, the shows have been good. I mean, they've looked different, you know, from the stage because,
right,
you know, people are spread out and, you know, 6 feet apart and in groups but it seems like people don't care, you know, they just want to be there. They just want to hear music. They want to do something, you know, they're tired of, I guess, staying at home. So they've looked great. I think Florida, these Florida shows coming up are pretty much wide open, I believe. You know, I think Florida, has done pretty well and gotten past most of it. Now they're not full capacity, but they won't, you know, they'll be 75%, I think. In Texas, we kind of had a little resurgence in the last month or so. So things are back to 50% here. But we'll do, you know, we'll do, whatever it is, you know, we've
right,
went out and we've done, now I've done a couple of shows where towards the end of the year last year, November, people just didn't show up. I mean, we had, you know, 300 people in a, you know, 1200 seat theater, you know, and that told me that, you know, people are still, and rightly so, you know, nervous. And especially, you know, a lot of the, hate to say it, but you know, a lot of our fans are our age or older.
Well, yeah.
And so, you know, it's a little, it's more dangerous for them, you know, to be out in the COVID time, you know. I mean, they're very susceptible to ending up in the hospital, you know, with the age. And so So I don't know. I mean, you know, that's where we're at, and spring looks, you know, spring's a little light. I've moved a couple of shows already again, you know, for the third or fourth time, but, and I'm sure you've been the same way. And,
Oh my gosh.
They just keep moving and moving and, but you know, it's gotta be pretty good here pretty soon.
If we can get
good by, you know, May or so, then it ought to be a heck of a summer and a heck of a year.
Yeah, I think July on, we can look at starting to see things go back to normal. I hope anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Between now and then, I'm just going to catch more fish, I guess. But
there you go.
I'm going to ask the question that everybody that just heard that whole conversation about playing shows right now is probably wondering, are you having to play two shows for the same money, or are you making less because the promoter's making less? Are they charging double for the tickets so they can fill the capacity half at the event? It's a little bit of all of it.
I have played a few where we've done 2 60-minute shows instead of one, you know, 90-minute show. We have done some that are premium, you know, VIP kind of table tickets. I mean, you know, so full pay and they just, it's for people that, you know, really want to come see the show, and those have done really well actually. And then I've done a few. If I can get a couple of those together, well, then I'll do some, you know, smaller shows for less money just to get in and out of those, you know how that
right.
routing works.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so, but it's, you know, for the most part been pretty good. We really haven't, you know, had to come off of a lot, but you know, and looking forward from now, it looks like everybody's, you know, all the shows I'm booking are regular, you know,
good
shows. So,
yeah.
So it looks like everybody's looking forward, you know, the promoters, the buyers, everybody's looking forward to a good year and confident
I'm,
in it.
You I'm know? Seeing some stuff come in for me for August in Texas, and places like that, you know, and I think those will be fine. And I'm looking forward to getting back out.
Oh yeah.
Like you
absolutely.
Are, you know, well, for you, if your shows are at half capacity, it just gives them all a lot more room to do the watermelon crawl. So
yeah, you know. I was talking to Blake Shelton, and he said, "Well, are you booking any shows?" And I said, "Yeah, but they're half capacity." I said, "But that's fine for me because that's all I ever sold anyway."
I don't think so. So TracyBirdMusic.com is where folks can go to find out where Tracy's going to be. He's doing select shows in different areas, and I want to thank you so much. I've been dying to get you on the show. We play all your songs. I mean, you're played on this show every weekend. We do Hold in Heaven, Watermelon Crawl, Keeper of the Stars, and 10 Rounds with Jose Cuervo, which you haven't had in quite some time. And congratulations on that.
I had my share.
Well, I did too. I haven't quite got to the place you are, but but I thank you so very much for joining me on Country Gold, Tracy Bird. And let's try and do this. I'd love to talk to you again down the line and find out what you've been up to when things get straightened out, and do an in-person interview with you when you're back in Nashville.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Tracy. And everybody, Tracy Bird, go to TracyBirdMusic.com, find out where Tracy's going to be. And I really appreciate catching up with you.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate you.
Country Gold with Dave.